Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to Flame On. My name is Brian. I am your substitute host for this episode of Flame On. I know many of you have heard me in the past, and I actually get to do something today that I haven't done in a while, which is do an interview with comic book creators. Something I, during the pandemic, I think it was like 2021-ish, I did this like every week. I had different queer creators and just luminaries from all over, and it was so much fun. So I'm really happy to have two fantastic friends now, certainly one colleague from podcasting. I am here, and I'm going to get this right, with Randy Faustino John Runyon of Bamboo Panel Studios. Now, Bamboo Panel is a new and exciting comic book press that has a Kickstarter who's already out live. In fact, if you go to the show notes or go on our socials, you will find the link for Cosmotrope number one. And I, John, you are one of the, kind of, you're somewhat of the inspiration from what I read, but you're also what else did you not do? and then Randy, you are the writer of this book. So, you know, Correct. Welcome to Flame On. And I'm really excited to hear about this new series.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yeah, John is he's what the team calls him Lion Share. That's the nickname he's earned because he gets stuff done. He has the majority ownership. And when things get rough, his claws come out. So that's why he's Lion Share.
Well, with that beautiful mane that he has, and I wish we had video right now. And I always love, so John and I met because of Comic Book Bears and a show he does called, I'm not going to get this wrong, A Comic Book Look.
Boom.
Yep. Beautiful. And yes, John, luscious long locks of lovely hair. I was trying to think of another L that I could add to that. I ran out of L's. And
lascivious.
Yeah, no. Lascivious. Ooh, that's a good one. It's Flame On After Dark. No. So tell me, I alluded to it. Tell me about the inspiration and the story that sort of led to the creation of this project. And I'm guessing somewhat the whole company, right? Cause this is your first foray, right? So what started this ball rolling?
You go, Jack. Take it.
Yeah. You tell it.
All right. So, for a while, it was a couple of years. I worked at our local comic book store here in town, and Randy came in as a customer. Randy and I got to know each other and ended up going out for breakfast, talking about boys, you know, just having the witty banter that friends do. And it ended up kind of being a joke or a dare. But it was one of those moments where it's like, we should put that in a comic book. You should put that in a comic book. And one thing led to another. And we actually got serious about it. One thing that I learned or relearned from a previous interview that we did was we, after we hit Instagram, we found Ashley, our third leg. So she is the artist. She is our art director. She is an amazing human being. One thing that I completely forgot about, Brian, with this whole direction was we were like, okay, we need to figure out what the project's going to be, but also how we're going to bring it to market. And so we are talking about things like Dark Horse and Image Comics and looking Randy found like the criteria for submissions. So we were getting into the weeds with this stuff. Ultimately, we decided, we're going to do our own thing and give it a whirl and see how it goes. And I think that's been a way better decision because one thing that we've found value in is really allowing for time and keeping our creators happy that we're working with versus being pressured on a timetable of someone, you know, at a major publisher, like, where's the book? Where's the book? You know?
To be fair, yeah, we still do that to ourselves. Sorry. We're still like, 100%. Where's our book? Where's our stuff?
Yeah. But it was kind of, Randy brought that up and I'm like, I had totally spaced that out. Like, cause I've been so immersed in the book itself that I was like, oh yeah, we were considering that. And I'm glad we didn't because there's just so much, Brian, that goes into making one of these bad boys. It's crazy. And we're not even done yet. We're still learning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, every Kickstarter I've talked to, like, there's so many different like learning curves that you have to kind of figure out and at different speeds. And yeah, if you don't give yourself that runway to do it, like so many Kickstarters have been colossal failures, not because of the content. The content's always the hard part, but sort of the easy part in some ways. But it's all the logistics and it's all the, you know, marketing side and just everything. So, I mean, from what I can tell already, you're doing it right. You've learned from all the failures that you've probably also backed. You've learned from the successes that you've backed. So, I mean, it's clear you guys have done your work. So tell me about Cosmotrope. I know that it is set in sort of a more foresty area. And as someone who is out in a very foresty area in Seattle, it is outside of Seattle, I should say. Seattle itself is a little less foresty, but outside of Seattle is pretty foresty. what was it about like setting it in that environment and having like a conservation officer as what the protagonist? I mean, I don't think there's a lot of books that choose that area to explore, but I was really interested to see like, you know, what that might allow for you to do in terms of storytelling.
Sure. So I guess, you know, to really understand the context of how the story came about, one of the things that I think I want to just mention is that the mission of Bamboo Panel Studios, you know, it's something that we share, like, so John, Ashley, myself, we really wanted this to be an opportunity to improve contemporary perspectives on what diversity is really about, right? I mean, we see so many things out there right now where I've often told my friends this, both in, you know, like my day job where I'm a scientist and an educator, and then in my superhero job now, which I'm going to call it, which is being one of the comic book creators with my team. And I've seen so many well-intentioned diversity initiatives and policies and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's not solving a problem and it's just pushing the pendulum back the other way. You know, it just reinforces the polarizing perspectives that we have today, you know, and then the focus is on all the wrong things, in my opinion. And so one of the things that we really wanted to do was, okay, let's tell stories that show diversity as, instead of being a political line item or some shoehorn corporate agenda item, let's show how it occurs when you pay attention to the right things. And so that's really the motivation behind the stories that I write, any of the stories that we consider for publication. You know, we just want to make sure the creators kind of are aligned with that view. So that said, Cosmotrope, I put the setting in the Pacific Northwest for a couple of reasons. I love the Pacific Northwest. I was born in the middle of the country, so I'm a prairie boy. I'm a Midwestern boy. I'm from Canada originally. But my entire career, my education has all been smack dab in the middle of the country. But I have family who lives out on the coast, and I remember the first time I went there, I loved the mountains, the trees, the you know, all of that. I love that. And if you think about now, you know, just being near Seattle, I'm sure you can comment on this too, but just all along there, because the West Coast was an initial place where a lot of immigrants would come over, it's reflected in the population there, right? And so I like that, because in my hometown, it's interesting. So I was born in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And so if you head up straight north of Sioux Falls, 8 hours or so, you get to it. And so growing up, so I like to tell people that I'm a disco kid because I grew up in the 70s. I was born in the 70s. And so the biggest population in Winnipeg at the time, it might have changed now, but they were Filipino and Ukrainian, right? Primarily. And so that was kind of the mix of people that we had there. And so seeing that now kind of in different places, you just end up growing up with diversity, because it's not really a, hey, we're going to make it diverse by putting these groups of people together and call it diversity. It's like, you know, circumstances just put these different people together, and this is what we grew up with. And so in my neighborhood, I remember there were a bunch of kids, some from Italy, some from Portugal, some from Jamaica. We never saw it as diverse. We're just like, this is my class, you know? And that's the kind of energy we want to bring to the story. So Cosmotrope hopefully brings that same energy. We have that same cast of characters. You know, these are our second generation American-born kids, but they all come from different backgrounds, you know? And you can see that reflected in the characters. And so how much of the characters are we allowed to share, John? John is like also legal counsel here. I don't want to get in trouble.
Go for it.
So, but I don't want to. Okay. So did you see the graphic for our Kickstarter?
Yes. I saw actually all of the variant covers, and I was on the Kickstarter too. So like very excited. I think I will say the one that excited me the most would be the Hirsute conservation officer. I'm assuming it's that is that character. Because as myself and I believe present company, we are of a certain type in the community that we call bears. And though my type has shifted over the years, I definitely used to be not into bears, but I didn't know what bears were. But, you know, my last few relationships, actually, I think it's all of my relationships have been like that body type. So, you know, it's a thing. But yeah, so the bearish character who's a conservation officer, and then and then who else is in the mix?
So you
a love interest, perhaps
The physician from so our town is called Sequoia Pass, and we have a hotshot ER physician who's got his own secrets. Remember, the setting is, you know, not only does this happen, but there's a supernatural twist to our stories. So there's a lot of things these folks are hiding for whatever reason, you know. But when something comes to threaten their town and the people they care about, keeping those secrets is not going to help. You know, they've got to find not only the ability, but just the vulnerability to open up and share these things with each other, because that's ultimately what's going to make the whole system stronger, right? And so that's kind of why we came up with the title Cosmotrope, because you know, my science background is coming in. So in chemistry, something that is like a cosmotrope is something that brings stability to an aqueous system. And so that's that whole idea of, okay, you know what? I kind of like that. Now, how would that be applicable in a social setting, a social cosmotrope, or a population cosmotrope? Okay. And to me, that's kind of the real strength of what we call diversity now, is because when you bring all these different elements together that maybe they're not similar, but you know what? It's because they're different. They bring something to the table that makes everything stronger.
No, I like that explanation of diversity. It is certainly I'm from Florida. So Florida's got its diversity and culture, certainly South Florida, which is actually where I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Like you were saying, like there's something just inherently like, oh yeah, of so many populations and backgrounds, ethnicities, whether it's, you know, Long Islanders that have moved down to retire, or people just snowbirding, or all of the Latina and Latinx populations down in that area from different mm-hmm. countries. Like it all just it's such a great melange of culture. And so, yeah, like seeing that as a strength and playing to that strength in your storytelling makes all the sense. Not just to check off an agenda or just, you know, give a buzzword, but like really because it just adds more flavors. Like I don't know. I'm talking to Midwestern folks. Who wants a soup that is basically potato? No, I'm just kidding. I love potato soup. But no, you got to blend in the spice. You got to add the different textures. You got to add the different feels. Mm-hmm. I love that. I'd never heard the term cosmotrope in my brain. And I think I have a decent vocabulary, but definitely not in the medical and chemistry. Chemistry was my worst. Oh, it was giving I don't know, something really supernatural, something really like a little bit more ethereal. So just not knowing the word, I already had that in my head. And I guess, John, you were saying when we were chatting, this was like an urban fantasy, supernatural, to be clear. Would you say there are other genres that kind of play in? Like, are we getting a little romance? Are we getting a little, my boyfriend's in publishing and he's always asking me like, well, you know, what genre, where would I put it in a bookstore? Right. Like, and comics are a little bit more wherever you want. Right. Cause comics,
yep,
but like, you know, urban fantasy, sure. A little bit of LGBTQ stuff. We think, and some romance or something like that.
Is that it sort is, of in a- it is a, so, so definitely mine and John's influences. I've always been more of a diehard action movie sort of person. But this one, you know, as I was writing it, I had a definite vision of what I thought it was going to be. And then as I was getting into it, I'm like, oh, you know what it's turning into? It's a slow burn thriller slash romance is kind of what it's turning into. And I'm like, I know John wanted to go right for the rom-com right off the bat. And I said, no, absolutely not. So that's the compromise. I'm like, actually, it is kind of a slow burn thriller romance because – I don't want to give away too much.
No, you don't have to give anything away. Yeah.
So it is. So there's that. Yes. And it involves a lot of very interesting characters. Obviously, our conservation officer, our physician, their friends and family play into the adventures that are ahead of them. They will learn to grow closer. And I would say, you know, in a more... They might not get along because they're so different when they first meet each other. Because I will say one is more free-spirited, one is more by the book. You know, your typical things. But I was pulling inspiration, too, from just people I've met throughout life and people I know. And there's no one person that serves as a template for the character. It's more like a couple of traits. Oh, from this one. Oh, this is from an ex. Oh, this is something that I know in one of my friends. He's like this, you know. How would that be if that was all together in one person? So.
No, it's funny when you know writers and you know creators and then like you find elements of things in your own life in their work. Let's just say it's neat. I love seeing that. I also like, you know, don't ever want to take that seriously. Like I'll tell you this. My boyfriend's a writer and he wrote a piece once called A Man of Faith. And this was fairly early on when we were dating. So he didn't know me super well, but he knew me enough. And he, I don't remember if he showed me the piece or he said, hey, read this. Didn't say anything. And I'm reading it and I'm like, oh my God, you just completely put me, but not. And so that's where you go, okay, well, this character's an asshole or this character's not even close. Like, what you think that's what I'm like? It's like, no. But it makes it more real. Like, write the things that are you in your life and that you know. And so, yeah, I think that's perfect. I'm distracted by the artwork. So I'm on the Kickstarter. Again, this is where I wish it was a visual medium, but it's okay. And I am looking, I believe it's the main graphic for the Kickstarter. Who is your artist? What is their background? I mean, they are a spectacular Not super sketchy, but not like crazy photorealistic, but like just a panel design. Like, tell me about your art team, because like it's really impressive, especially for a brand new publisher, a first project from relatively, I can say, you know, new creators. Like, where did you find this artist? Tell me about the team.
Oh man, that's a fun story. So I'll start, and then, you know, John can give his take on it. So this is the work of Ashley Mortensen, our third member, our art director, our third leg, like John said. And so, you know, after John issued the dare to me, and I said, fine, I'll do it. I was drafting a script for a couple months, and then I'm like, you know what? We need an artist, obviously, to bring this to life. And so, like all things, we had a plan, you know, and I can go back in my notes, and John and I were talking about this, and I'm like, okay, we have a list of 10 potential artists. We're going to reach out and contact them, and then we'll just work our way down through the list, and then we'll see who says yes. And so, not related to that, I was on Instagram scrolling, just, you know, how you do. And I'm like, ooh, this artist, I love, who's this artist? I'm like, Ashmo. I don't know who that is, you know? And we will have to send you the link for her Instagram. She's amazing. And so you can see why. So I'm like, oh my God, you know, is she like a published artist? Who does she work for? And I couldn't see that. And I'm like, maybe she's not even with any comic book company. So you know what? I just sent her a message out of the blue. Like, we're not connected. So you know how those Instagram messages don't go directly to them; it just gets filtered into the, you know, that holding the triage basically. And so I sent her this little paragraph that said, "Hey, my name is so and so. We're working on this. I really love your style, because if you see her stuff, she has a good command of anatomy, and she shows nuance in characters' emotions, and she draws a diverse number of body types, which really caught my eye. Because, you know, we always grew up looking at comic book characters going, oh my God, they all have 2% body fat and they're gorgeous, you know? They're not all like that, right? Like, real life is just not like that. I mean, we like it, but it's not like that. And I love the fact that that was her natural style, you know? She portrayed all sorts of characters in very loving and respectful ways. Like, you can tell her art is really meant to respect the person, you know? And so I like that, and I contacted her, and I thought, well, who knows, you know, maybe she'll just think I'm some bot. But she responded. She responded, and we got super excited. And so I scheduled a meeting for her and John and I to meet. And she loved what we were doing, and she hopped on, and that was how we welcomed Ashley in. And so that's all her. The first book is all entirely her artwork. Her storyboarding, her design, her visual composition. I mean, I know nothing about that. I'm a writer, you know. I don't have the palette to accurately appreciate a visual medium, but with her as kind of like the bar, I'm like, oh boy, I think I'm going to be a snob now, because she's like so good, you know? And so she does all the line work, but John can tell you a little bit about our colorist, because he was a separate person that we welcomed into the fold too.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, backtracking really quick here, Ashley does great line work, but what Randy's not doing is he's not giving himself credit to. So this is something I like to lift up in interviews. Randy actually found a really cool comic book script template. And that's one of the main things that I would encourage for all people looking to dip into this medium is make sure that you can effectively communicate to your art team and to all stakeholders what your vision is. And so Randy did a beautiful job of laying out the pages where Ashley was able to do those page layouts. And sometimes the script didn't call for that, but Randy communicated what he would like to see happen on the page. And Ashley said, okay, all that's going to happen. And then some is what happened. And you'll see that as you go through the pages of the book, it's very lovely and well done. But yeah, for our colorist, so Randy and I really just hit the ground running with searching for creators. So it was Instagram, but it was also connecting online in different communities on Facebook. And that's the next tip that we would give to anyone that's looking to dip into this. There are a pair of groups out there where it's literally called Connecting Comic Book Artists with Writers, and then one with publishers too. So a lot of people are in both groups, but it's two separate ones. I can't tell you how many lucky finds we've had with different artists.
Oh, yeah.
And prospective ones that we're still talking to for future projects coming up that I found just by logging into that group. Or I'll just see it in my timeline and be like, holy smokes, this is amazing. And so our colorist was one of those individuals. So all the way from Lagos in Africa, Shamsuddin Idris is our colorist. And this guy has just been so terrific to work with, and I am. He's very pleasant. And, you know, he really exceeds what we're looking for in a team member. Ashley yeah. was very quick with her work. Dean is able to just crush a page in like a day. And so the results that we were seeing coming in the door, it was just so cool. And it's that extra cherry on top. The line work itself is really cool to see, especially for Randy, because it's his, you know, writing. And so seeing it elevated like that. But with the coloring, it was really fun just to see the tones and the how it really sets the mood for a page. So yeah, it's been a lot to take in, Brian, as we've gone through creating this book, and we're already working on another project too. Just seeing things come together, it's very exciting. It makes me appreciate what I get off the shelves now each Wednesday.
Oh my God. I was just thinking that actually, like, so, I mean, I'm not trying to make this about me at all, but I do drag now, and not often, but enough that, again, doing it, you learn and appreciate so much more what you see yeah. and what you experience. And I did a comic book years ago for an anthology out of my local comic shop. And it was actually friend of the show, friend of our show, friend of Comic Book Bears. And I don't know if you know from Comic Book Look, Jeremy Owens. Mm-mm. He is a bear as well and does he used to do a little bit more. He hasn't done as much lately, but he has other ventures he's doing. Anyway, he drew it for me because I really loved his style. And but putting that together, communicating with the artist, working through that. And I did a very loose script. I did a very, very, very loose script. And so working through that with him, doing the thumbnails, like, it was just such a great process. It was so fun, but so important to get right. Communication, as in any endeavor, is key.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And then
just going through and understanding it. And now when you read a page and you read a comic and you read a comic book script, like, you know, you just see there's so much variation in that, but it always sort of just, you just get it. And then, yeah, you get that finished product and you're like, wow, I can tell this has got a lot of craft and art, like not art, but like craftsmanship. You know, it's a team effort, and oh my God, seeing it all come together, knowing what it takes is always remarkable. So this is an issue one release, like very common in Kickstarter. You put the first issue out. It's not the first taste is free, but your first taste hopefully brings them back. So not spoiling anything, but I'm guessing maybe there's hooks and there's maybe a cliffhanger or something to draw this into the next issue. And then what do we... Where are we? Have you written the remaining? Like, have you written more? And are you just kind of waiting to see how this goes? Like, what's your plan for that?
So I will say, I actually had a lot more written than what you see in issue one. But as we were putting it together, it was really a logistical decision, actually, where we're like, oh, no, you know, we can't have this many pages in our first one. We kind of wanted to keep it at a certain level. And so I went and looked at the script and I'm like, okay, you know what? Here's a good place to break it. And I sent that and I talked to the team and I said, okay, guys, this is kind of where I think it's a good place to stop, you know, because of this and this and this. And I thought, okay, let's see. We gave it to Ashley. Oh my God. She turned that break into something where you're like, oh, I mean, I know what happens next. And I'm like, I want to see. Yeah. You know? And so it's in the works. I mean, we have a lot more written than we have in number one. We've been asked, do we know how many issues? And honestly, I keep thinking, oh, you know, we'll have four. But the way the story's going, I'm like, we might actually go more. And so as it evolves, as our characters evolve, as they grow, as our supporter community grows, we'll see where it takes them. You know, I have a definite end. I know how it's going to end. And I know how it fits into other projects, which I can, you know, I can say that much. And it's a really nice overarching, it's an overarching story arc that we're building. And this is just kind of the first part of it. And so we got a lot of other exciting things. I mean, I will say, so this is going to be a little bit of a hit because Cosmotrope, as you know, as I told you, it's a chemistry term. So it has an opposite term that is also something used in chemistry, and it's called a chaotrope, where it's something that brings chaos to a system and disrupts it. And so I can say that much. And the only reason I knew that, I actually knew about chaotropes before cosmotropes, because I worked with chaotropes when I was in grad school. And so that's, I remember when I first started working with them, I'm like, this is a really cool word, you know, but it's really like soap, essentially, when you're using it. But I thought that would make an awesome title for like a book or a story. And so kind of that's where we are with this. So cosmotrope is a one side bringing order. Chaotrope is another thing that causes chaos and stability and stochasticity. And so there's a hint there for future things, but that's all I'm going to say about that.
And in terms of Bamboo, oh boy, I'm going to say it wrong. I just started saying it, Bamboo Press Studio, right? Yes, got it?
No.
Panel. Bamboo Panel. Well, tell me about that. Actually, that's interesting in itself. Why Bamboo Panel? What's that mean?
Sure. So you know, this like I'm close to my family, and so I was talking to Dad about this. Like, he know, like I talk to him every day. And I said, Dad, guess what we're doing? You know, we're doing a comic book and da da da. And he got excited for us. And we were at the point where we had our team, we had our book, we had the story, but we're like, well, we want to do a company, but what are we going to call it? You know? And so we were, I can't even remember the names we tossed around now, but Bamboo stuck because when I was telling Dad about it, he didn't give me any. Like, he didn't tell me, oh, you should name it this. But he's from the Philippines. He grew up in a coastal village, you know. And he said, oh, you know what? It's like, you know, dad analogies, right? He's like, oh, it's kind of like, you know, when you have bamboo that's growing in the jungle. And I mean, I don't know. I've never grown up in a tropical jungle. So, you know, I take my dad's word for it. But when you have bamboo, sometimes it's just, it stays like a small sprout or shoot. But the minute it gets the nourishment it needs and the water and the nutrients, overnight it can grow up to be several meters tall. And I'm like, I love that imagery. That's really cool. You know, it's like
having grown bamboo myself. Having grown bamboo myself, I can say definitively it is like a freaking weed, and in a great way if you love bamboo, right?
Yeah. And so Dad said that. He's like, yeah, it can be like, you know, for 5 years, you don't see it grow at all. And then all of a sudden, poof, overnight. And I'm like, This is awesome. I said, I love this imagery. So I brought it to the team. I said, hey, guys, guess what? We should do something with bamboo something. I don't know what. And then that was a second part where we're like, well, we can't just do bamboo because there are bamboo studios out there. You know, there was one bamboo something, I remember, but it was a construction company out in your neck of the woods, Brian. So it was like, oh, well, I mean, we can't do that. We're not building houses. So, you know, what are we going to do? And so I think, John, you can probably tell this part of the story because this is how it kind of became the final thing.
We were Yeah, we were visiting about it, and I was like, well, what about doing, like, a portion of the comic book? So, like, bamboo spine, bamboo staple, bamboo panel, you know, like a comic book panel. And we were like, there it is. Boom. And so it was just kind of this hodgepodge of things. And then we threw studios on it because that's what we want to be, and that's what we want to do.
And do you have any other nascent efforts percolating? Like, you don't have to tell us, like, what they are, but do you have other, you know, not just Cosmotrope future, but, like, other things you're looking at, other writers, other, yeah. Ooh. What do you got?
John, this is, yes.
So,
so John's writing a comic. That's all I'm saying. John's got to be writing a comic.
So this next one is going to be an anthology. I will say it is complementary to Cosmotrope as well. So I always just say the devil's in the details and pay attention. And it's going to be a lot of fun. This one's really special to me because we looped in a lot of local writers. And then, like an example is Doug White is a published author that lives here in Sioux Falls. And, Doug, we paired him with one of the artists that we love working with. And just seeing his reaction of seeing his story brought to life visually was so cool. And that's the kind of stuff we love doing is get, you know, getting opportunity out there and having different voices at the table. This next project, is going to be really exciting. It's called Dotties. And,
Dotties?
What? Dotties. Yep.
Like D-O-T-T? And so it has that. Like D-O-T-T-I or Y is like a person's name?
D-O-T-T-I-E-S.
Okay. Cool.
Yep. And so it's going to be a really fun setting. It's a kind of a anything, everywhere kind of a diner where it floats in space. And it's a lot of voices coming together. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm based on the art that I've seen, this one's going to be really cool. So it's a solid follow-up.
And so the other thing that I want to point out about just all of our work. So John is very good on, you know, outreach and lifting up locals. But at the same time, too, we're bringing in authors and artists from all around the world. So our artists are from Brazil, from Lagos, from Manila, and amazing talent, amazing global talent. And so it's an opportunity for their work to be reflected as well. And pairing them up with the local folks, it's always been a fun mix. We've always seen it because I think for me, seeing the different art styles from where they come, they're influenced. Like our colorist's work is influenced by living in Lagos. I think he's been there his entire, like he's born and raised there. My artists are Erwin. He's another one of our artists, and you'll see his stuff. Actually, am I going to get in trouble from Lion Share here? Did you show Brian all the covers?
That one I did not show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I almost got in trouble for that one, but we have some work from him, which is going to be amazing. When you see it, like it is amazing. You will be wowed by the stuff these people bring to the table. So that's another thing that we like to also, you know, promote.
Well, I did not sign an NDA and I hope John does not sue me.
No,
no way. Well, this is so exciting. I really am envious, but also excited that you are going out and doing this. And so far, I mean, like this, what launched, John, you said this launched today or yesterday? Like
today, just a couple hours ago.
Yeah. I mean, you're already doing pretty good and your goal is very attainable, very reasonable. I started to back it. And of course, Kickstarter drives me nuts because I have to put my credit card in and I don't have my wallet when I'm usually surfing on my phone in the bathtub, but it's going to happen. And after this show, I know you're doing Comic Book Bears and probably Comic Book Look, I'm guessing is going to have a segment, I would hope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, I have utmost confidence that you're going to get this funded, and I am very excited for more of what is to come from your team. I've got to check these artists out because the art, like I said, I'm looking at the style of art, and it's just so dynamic. And like some indie work, when you start,
especially if it's like, you know, one creator doing everything, but like, you know, with a good team nowadays, especially with all the amazing talent across the world. I mean, I'm so glad you reached out outside of the US borders, because I mean, the big companies have been doing this for a little while. I mean, honestly, I've been doing it for the Philippines. There's tons of artists from the Philippines back in like the 70s, even. Like, it's nothing new, but like the internet has made this so accessible for collaborators to meet up virtually. And my favorite story, and I'm guessing you have not seen, I'm sorry, your colorist name was
Shamsuddin Idris.
Yeah, has not visited Sioux City. Visited you guys, right? Yeah. Sioux Falls, right? Not Sioux City. I always do that, and I think there's two cities. They're the same. No, Sioux Falls, right?
Yep, Sioux Falls.
God, Sioux City is a little bit south of us.
Oh, there is. Okay. So it's a real thing. Okay, at least I didn't just make it up where I had a weird mental break where I'm parallel universing. You know, the what's it called? The Bernstein Bears or the Mandela Effect kind of deal. But no, like I've got, yeah, like my favorite story is these teams that have met across the internet or whatever. They meet it for the first time, like randomly at a convention, and they're like, oh my God, finally we get to meet. Anyway, it's so cool. I think it's going to be great, and I'm very excited to read this. The rewards, just to whet people's appetites. Oh, wow. The number just updated in real time. You guys are, let's see, what are you, like a fifth of the way, almost a fifth of the way there.
Okay.
Like, ooh. Good job.
Okay, I will say this is mine and John's first Kickstarter ever, so it's holding a special place in our hearts right now.
Do you have? I'm going to go through some of the reward levels if you think that'll help, because it's nice to have a lot of variety, and I think Kickstarters that are successful have those different price points and have those different, you know, enticements to lure you in. But are you thinking about stretch goals too? Do you have like, because I mean, I think it's going to be funded here probably very quickly, and like, you're going to need some stretch goals, right?
We have got those, Brian. So if you know one thing about me, it's that I'm a diva with those covers. So we were like, well, we could put them all out now, or we could be patient. And so we have some beauties waiting to be unveiled. So definitely more to come.
Oh, very excited. So always a good price point, $5 PDF. Got to do it. Nowadays, there's no excuse, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got main cover, which I think I really like the main cover a lot by Ashley. It captures the Pacific Northwest-y vibe. Totally. I love it. Then you've got this one. And again, I wish I had the visuals, but if you go to the Kickstarter link, you'll see it. There's a cover by Mikey Martinez. Mm. The bearishness is overwhelming between the very hirsute and scantily clad. I'm assuming that might be Liam is his name. That's the conservation officer. And then the giant, I guess maybe like it's his inner bear. Beautiful and very for the community, for our bears, for our fans of the male and the bear, like a literal bear form. Yeah, you'll love that one. Also, like the other one, the Glenn Quigley cover, who I don't know Glenn, and I should. I'm guessing I should know Glenn.
You should know Glenn. He's so great. I'm
sure he's probably done stuff with Comic Bears too, and I just wasn't there for it. But like he's got a great style. Again, if you're in the bear community, you're going to love this one. I love the fire. It's kind of giving fire bear in the coloration he's using, but I think it's because the one guy is like gingery, and then – anyway, it's delightful. And then again, Ashley's art. They're all great. All these covers are great, but Ashley's got another variant cover. Beautiful. Love it. Gives you a nice view of the characters. And of course, all of these are like nothing. Like $5, $10, $15. Like just, you know, whatever. And they all come with a PDF, which you have to. Again, that's so crucial, right? And then you stack. I love that you start stacking. You're just like, nope, you can't, you don't want just one. No, you get all of them. And like for a reasonable price. Mm-hmm. And then you get into like the crazy stuff, which I love, and the limited stuff. Like, you know, you can get all the covers and you can see yourself in issue 2. See, I did that once years ago. I forgot what Kickstarter it was. And it was like another like friend of the show kind of situation. And I had them draw me in, and Oh, you know, it was probably Bill Zanowitz. I think it was his. And I cannot, Bill, I'm so sorry if you hear this. Cannot remember this the comic he did, but do you remember this the book he put out? He like did the one issue Kickstarter. Anyway, he had these artists do like Draw Yourself In, and I think that was the one I had him do. So I love that option. That's really fun. So yeah, no, I mean, you've got a great selection here. I hope this is successful. I think it's going to be. Like, I don't even need to hope. I really love what y'all are doing. Is there anything else that you think? Oh, you know what? I gotta mention John's show. So I have never been on, have I? We talked about it, but did we actually do it?
We need to do it.
Comic Book Look? No. So Comic Book Look is a great comic book show, and I enjoy catching it randomly. I'm not good at catching any live podcasts these days. Podcasts like audio, I'll listen all day. But like, you know, live, and you do such a good job. I think around the same time, or maybe before Comic Book Bears went visual YouTube, you were doing some great, great comic book deep dives. And what's your co-host name? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, Tom.
Tom.
Yep.
And, you know, how's that going? Tell us about, like, anyone who's never heard that show, tell us about what Comic Book Look, you know, kind of brings in, what's your format, and just, you know, tell us about your show.
Yeah. A Comic Book Look. So we have been going since 2011, which is crazy to say. Tom and I started out the show because we disagreed on comic books that we were reading. I said something was awesome, and he was like, nah. So the popular one, of course, at the time was the Dark Reign event. I love my Dark Avengers from Marvel, and Tom said, this is dumb. And so it just kind of sparked this hilarious thing that we should record it and make a show. Since then, we've had, you know, a series of guest contributors. Then we've been branching out and connecting with other shows. Currently we are a mighty four. So we have myself and Tom, and then Sam is the newest addition to the show. He works at Rainbow Comics here in Sioux Falls. And then Mark is a longtime friend of the show, and he's out of Tennessee. And he just asked to be part of the show. He used to do his own show, and he wanted to saddle on up with us. And we said, yes, absolutely. So, yeah, we're rocking and rolling right now with our channel.
That's so cool. I miss talking about comics. So it was such a huge part of my life. Flame On also 2011. I think maybe we did realize this at one point, but yeah, we both started like way the hell back, and the Comic Bears started like just like right after that. So I mean, us old timer podcasters like who. You know, nowadays, oh my God, just that medium is so overrun with just so much talent, so much high production. Like it's a hard, if you find a good local or whatever, local doesn't matter, but if you find a good, fun, like accessible, just a bunch of guys talking or a bunch of people, I should say, not guys, actually the guys podcast is that's pretty much everywhere. You find a nice diverse crew though. Like that's such a great gift. And I really, you've kept it going as someone who also has kind of kept it going. It's like, good for you. You're doing the Lord's work. I don't know which Lord, maybe the Lord of evil, maybe the Lord of podcasting, Alex Curry, whoever invented it. Like, I don't know. But, well, thank you both. I really, really am excited about this book. I will make sure we push it on our socials. And if you again need a reminder, it is Cosmotrope number one. It is up on Kickstarter. It has just come out. And so when you are hearing this, it will have been live for about a week. So you should have plenty of time to get in, back it, support this great company, Bamboo Panel Press.
Bamboo Studios.
Panel Studio. See? By issue number two, or the next time we have you on, I'll get it right. I promise.
There you go.
That's well, awesome. Thank you. Both Randy, John, thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing what's next. So again, thanks everyone for listening. Cosmotrope number one is out. Go check it out. And we will see you all back here really soon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.